It's that time of year, folks. The draft begins tomorrow, and putting all else aside, it's mock draft time. Let's get into it here on
Beyond the Blitz.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, ladies and gentlemen. Blitz crew here, back at it. Brandon Wells, Justin Rogers, special guest today here from Jay and Shay Sports for Dummies, Jacob Hawk, joining us here for our 2021 mock draft. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine, man. Happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we're just going to get right into it. Draft rules. Each person is assigned a team throughout this mock draft. We're going to bounce back and forth. We're all role-playing as the GMs for the specific team. We also each get one trade, one accepted trade, which means if we trade, we're just going to fall back and role-play the GMs still at the same. So, with each person being ready to pick, let's begin. The Jaguars are on the clock.
Pick is in. Immediately, the pick is in. Not to add any humor, not to add any unneeded comedy, but the Jaguars had a dumpster fire of a season after starting out 1-0 last year. With the first overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback. Clemson brings in a brand new and fresh regime there in Jacksonville, and it'll be a great quarterback for years to come under Urban Meyer.
Yeah, this is the easiest pick in the draft for sure, and we see this every year now with the number one pick, where it's obvious. No one's questioning it. There's no talk about trades. There's no talks about what if. I mean, he's already has the Jacksonville Jaguars playbook, for Christ's sake. Trevor Lawrence is going to the Jaguars. The Jets are on the clock. So I think another obvious pick here. We all know the Jets are going quarterback. They traded away Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers this offseason, so now we know where they're going. Question is, where are they going? I think it's pretty obvious, just like with Trevor Lawrence, the Jets here at number two select Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU. Easily probably one of the most athletic quarterbacks in this draft class. He has a lot to grow on. Definitely a quarterback who may not be ready to play right away, especially on a team as bad as the Jets. But I think we're going to see flashes of greatness out of Zach Wilson that hopefully turns into a very successful career.
I think for Zach Wilson right here, for me, the only thing that I need to see from him is being a student of the game, especially because now that he'll be the second overall pick, he needs to be that guy who steps in. He's a leader for the New York Jets, I think, with Robert Saleh there. And he's got an incredible coaching staff that's going to coach him up and a good offensive coordinator that's coming in. Offensive line, Jacob, you were talking about earlier, might be a little bit shaky. Let's see what they can do with the rest of the draft, because I think this is a really good offensive line class coming up. So the Jets are on the rise. J&J, Jets and Jaguars, two teams I would not pick in any game last year, picking in the top two.
The 49ers are on the clock.
This is a draft-changing pick right here, because the San Francisco 49ers, they traded up everything to get up to number three here with the Miami Dolphins. And from what I've been hearing from certain sources, there's two ways we could go right here. Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields is the best guy available, and it could be a smokescreen, as my brother says. But right now, it's between Mac Jones and Trey Lance. Mac Jones is Kyle Shanahan's pick. Trey Lance is the team personnel's pick. And so I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say Trey Lance, number three overall, mostly because right now you have him behind Jimmy Garoppolo. He reminds me, Trey Lance does, a lot of Patrick Mahomes as far as really being able to want to work. I mean, really, Patrick Mahomes didn't know how to read defenses all that well. He wasn't really schooled as much at Texas Tech. And so then he kind of came under a good guy in Andy Reid, really a quarterback whisperer. And I think we could see the same thing here with Kyle Shanahan, and Trey Lance could be the guy 2022 leading this 49ers team, who's already built to get to the Super Bowl. Having Trey Lance there would be really good. So Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State, number three overall pick of the 49ers in 2021 draft.
Yeah, I think Trey Lance poses that question of potential, or, you know, That promise level to performance. If you look for straight up performance, you pick Mac Jones. Immediate performance, you're probably going to get more out of Mac Jones right away. But if you look at that promise for the future, it's all Trey Lance. And I can definitely see this pick going well for the 49ers if they give him time.
The last NDSU quarterback that made it big in the NFL was Carson Wentz, and might I remind you, before his injuries, he was an absolute monster on the football field. Now, not so much. Hopefully, Trey Lance's career goes very similar, minus the injuries, and hopefully he can go on to have a great career. I do think Justin Fields may be the better quarterback of these options, but Trey Lance definitely being slept on. This quarterback draft class, very deep. The Falcons are on the clock.
After taking a little bit of thought, with the fourth overall pick, the Atlanta Falcons draft tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida. This one is pretty cut and dry personally for me. Just out of generational talents, this might be the best tight end to come out in a long time. I mean, you look at his, he's at the 6'6", 246, but he's solid. He runs like just a maniac. He's ridiculous. 43 receptions last year, 770 yards, 12 touchdowns, at an average of 17.9 per catch. His radius to grab the ball is ridiculous. His speed off the ball is ridiculous. Probably the best tight end you're going to see within the next five drafts, from what I understand. I just don't see them heading any other direction other than maybe Justin Fields and having him sit a year, like Brandon said before our podcast. But I definitely see them going short-term, a long-term investment for short-term success with Matt Ryan still as your quarterback, drafting Kyle Pitts.
I think a lot of people here highly expected the Falcons to trade back in the draft, maybe with either the Broncos or the Patriots. But the Falcons, I mean, getting Kyle Pitts here, it is kind of a no-brainer. You're getting the best player in the draft, potentially. In my opinion, may end up top five all time at his position. Falcons getting a bona fide stud here at this position. The Bengals are on the clock. So there's two different ways Cincinnati can go here. They can go help Joe Burrow up on the offensive line. He went down an injury last season. You don't want that to happen again. Getting an offensive lineman is almost a must, and they did not help him in the offseason. We kept thinking and looking at it, and just no help came. Offensive line is a big need. And then you look at the receiver position. A, he has no help up front, but he also has no one to throw the ball to anymore. AJ Green is gone. He's in Arizona now. He doesn't have anybody left to throw to. Joe Burrow is out there all by himself, and they need to find some kind of help. And I think that the right pick here is to go ahead and just get the best player on the board, and that's Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver. Ja'Marr Chase is by far the most talented player at his position in years, I believe, as far as prospects are concerned. He led that LSU offense, and Joe Burrow, you know, he has experience with the dude, and they're going to connect quick and fast, and the Bengals here are getting their receiver of the future.
Yeah, and just to interject there, a lot of people see this offseason as completely unsuccessful for helping Joe Burrow, and they look at that receiving core and they go, whoa, but if we take a step back, they have a young stud in T. Higgins. They have a solid product in Auden Tate. They also have the first ranked since 2018 in receptions and yardage from the slot wide receiver, Tyler Boyd, as well. I think just the addition on the outside of Ja'Marr Chase would take their receiver position from good to great. I don't necessarily think they have a poor one. In this offseason, they did try their best with being stingy in free agency as usual, but they did go out and grab Riley Reiff, who gave up one sack starting all games last season, and they went and got Quentin Spain, who started, I believe, seven or eight games for him last season and gave up one sack as well, who played out of his mind. Obviously, you want to see them draft Penei Sewell here, but we have to remember that this draft is loaded at offensive line. So Ja'Marr Chase just seems like the right pick.
Yeah, I think I want to agree with you there, Jacob, for the Cincinnati Bengals, because I think they've done a decent job. I mean, you talked about the offensive line. Let's not forget that Jonah Williams is coming back too. He didn't play that much because of the injury last year, but it's still a pretty decent offensive lineman. Again, like you said, they'll have a top five pick in the second round. I think a guy like Jalen Mayfield, tackle in Michigan, like they have some guys they can pick from here. And also the Ja'Marr Chase to and Joe Burrow connection right there is really good and really solid. So it could go either way, but Ja'Marr Chase, pretty good pick here.
The Dolphins are on the clock.
Yeah, man, I don't know what the Dolphins are going to do if Ja'Marr Chase is off the board here at pick number six. Honestly, if I'm the Dolphins, I trade down because you can still get a good guy like Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith. And the Broncos are that team who right now Justin Fields is on the board and you can trade up. You can go get him because right now you're going to have the Lions and the Panthers, who are two other teams who could get some trades right here. And you have pick 18 as well for the Dolphins. And so where do you want to go here? If you are the Miami Dolphins, you just go with the best player on your board. I don't know where he is on their board, but I know where he is on mine. It's a hard decision, but I'm going to just pick the best player on the board instead of picking someone else. I'm going to go tackle Penei Sewell out of Oregon. And you guys remember last year in the draft, I traded up for with the Miami Dolphins. I had their second pick in last year's draft, and I traded up and I got them a offensive tackle last year. Now, they do have Austin Jackson. I don't know who's on the other side, but they need to protect Tua because he's an injury liability, and they need to have somebody at that tackle position. I believe Brian Flores and that coaching staff could coach him up well. He's not my favorite here. I like Rashawn Slater a little bit more, but Penei Sewell, he is a raw talent who has all the intangibles that you want in an offensive tackle. And so I'm going to pick him right here at number 6 for the Miami Dolphins. So let's see what wide receiver is left for the Dolphins later in the draft.
Yeah, like you said, Justin, best available. Dolphins need help out of the offensive line spot, and they get easily the best offensive lineman prospect in this draft as steal at number 6. The teams ahead of you needed other positions, and the Dolphins sneakily get the guy they wanted, trading back and still getting the player they were eyeballing. Great pick. The Lions are on the clock.
With the 7th overall pick, the Detroit Lions select Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama. They need a wide receiver. You can't just go get Perryman and say everything's okay. I believe they got another wide receiver in free agency. I forget who it is. If you guys could remind me real quick.
Tyrell Williams.
There we go. Tyrell Williams or Rashad Perryman, and act like you have replaced Kenny Golladay, because you haven't. Devontae Smith is a Heisman Trophy winner who brings speed to your offense, and dear Lord, his arm length to go get the ball is unmatched. Sure, a lot of people are going to say he's undersized at 165, but I think he's super talented and he'll have some success with Jared Goff at quarterback. Some success.
The Panthers are on the clock.
I would immediately run and make this phone call if I were the Washington football team. I'd like to offer our first round pick this year, next year, and our second round pick this year to trade up to number 8.
You know what? I'll take that. That's a deal. We have a deal. Washington is on the clock.
With the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft, the Washington football team selects Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State. Now, this is a complete curveball for this draft. No one has this happening. In fact, a lot of people have the Patriots dialing in at number 8. With the Panthers to get Justin Fields. But trust me, Justin Fields is the best prospect left on the board here. I think he's the second best quarterback in the draft, and Washington is a quarterback away from being perennial playoff threats with that defense. I mean, they are ridiculous on the defensive side of the ball. They went out and got Curtis Samuel. They have Terry McLaurin. I expect them to go and draft one more offensive weapon within this draft. A lot of people thought maybe Kadarius Toney at 19. But maybe in the 3rd round, they can go grab a wide receiver or anything like that, because Justin Fields is your future. And we already know that Fitzmagic is a great mentor when it came to Tua. Just in general, I'd love to see Justin Fields go and play with his former teammate, Chase Young, and see what he can do in Washington. And I love this trade completely. And they're not giving up the house like they did with the Rams.
Yeah, Justin Fields, I mean, he's being surrounded with talent if he goes to Washington here. I know they just got Ereck Flowers in a trade with Miami. And really, the offensive line has to have some tuning. I think the 2nd round, I mean, we're saying this, that, you know, there might be 5 or 6 offensive linemen going in the 1st round. 2nd round is really when you're going to see them going off the board as well. I mean, they need guard, they need tackle.
Well, mind you, they don't have a 2nd rounder now.
That's true, because they traded this year. That's right. So, I mean, we'll see. There's some guys in free agency, too. They got some money, some veterans that they can get. So I think, yeah, this is definitely a future move, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the long-term solution. I mean, you got Terry McLaurin there. You got guys in the backfield. So, and that defense is going to be good for years to come. So Washington being set up for success here, I like the pick.
The Broncos are on the clock.
Yeah, I was really tempted to trade up to 7 or 8 from this 9th spot. But, I mean, I don't think just – John Elway and company just don't want to do that. So right here, I mean, it's best available. I mean, Garrett Bowles had a great season last year. And this is a guy I thought the Panthers were going to pick at 8, which is why I was waiting till 9. But I'm going Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, Northwestern. And this guy, I mean, I compare him, we're comparing him right now, Rashawn Slater, and we're comparing Penei Sewell. And I think Sewell is a raw guy who needs to be taught what it means to be an offensive tackle. He's got all the size, all the tangibles. I think Rashawn Slater also is a guy who, for me, he has all the tools, he has the technique, and he's a guy who can plug and play right now. I mean, the Broncos, they don't know who their quarterback is. I mean, right now it's Drew Lock, but might as well just go a step further right now. Sure up that offensive line. Defense is pretty decent. I mean, right now would have been corner here, but they got some corners in free agency. Rashawn Slater, number 9 to the Broncos, offensive tackle, Northwestern.
Yeah, the Broncos, you know, playing patient, getting their guy, easily, you know, the best offensive lineman available left, as you said. A lot of comparisons to Penei Sewell. Rashawn Slater, very quietly going here, top 10, and he definitely deserves this spot, and he's going to help that Broncos team out a lot. Hopefully make Drew Lock look a little bit better and buy him some time. The Cowboys are on the clock.
With the 10th overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Patrick Surtain, cornerback, Alabama. I think he is easily one of the best cornerbacks in this draft. I think the top three are a mixture just in general. I think the craziest cornerback to pick is J.C. Horn, sorry. J.C. Horn is like 6'4", and he's super tall for a cornerback, but Patrick Surtain is a safe pick. They lost Jadobi Awuzie in free agency. They need to fill this spot. They need to fill this need. They had the worst defense in the NFL last year. They have to start making improvements, and they do that with the 10th overall pick with the best cornerback that they believe is in this draft.
I wouldn't just say the best cornerback in the draft. I'd say the best defensive player in this draft. Patrick Surtain definitely going to come in and make an immediate impact for the Cowboys. And this is the spark they needed on what you said, Jacob, a defense that really needs help at that position. And Sertan's going to come in and immediately perform at the next level. Great pick here for Dallas. The Giants are on the clock. So the Giants is another team with just a lot of needs. And as far as defense is concerned, it's kind of a thin draft class. I think if you're the Giants, you have to take the best defensive player available, because at this point, you could really just use any and any help you can. And, you know, you can't get much worse than going ahead and drafting the linebacker Micah Parsons out of Penn State. He's the best defensive player left available, and him slipping to the Giants here, you know, it's not what they expected, but it happened, and they just can't pass this dude up.
Yeah, that's where I disagree with you with the Patrick Surtain comment. If Micah Parsons plays this season, he could easily be a top 7, top 8 pick. I think Micah Parsons is easily in the conversation for one of the best defensive players in this draft, if not the best. I think Micah Parsons is just absolutely dominant. He played in a mean Big Ten that has big offensive linemen. And if you don't believe me, look at our board. Look at the tackles. Look at the offensive guards, the centers in this draft. A lot of them played in the Big Ten. One we just talked about, Slater from Northwestern, played in the Big Ten. Parsons is the real deal. I think he's going to be a great player in the NFL. The only worry is that he hasn't played football for a full season, and I'd love to see how it works out for him in New York, where he will probably be their lead linebacker.
The Eagles are on the clock.
Yeah, with the Eagles here, this is a spot where they could also trade back, because they have one this first-round pick, then they have 3 next year potentially with their own, the Dolphins pick that they got from this year, and then also the Colts pick from the Carson Wentz trade, pending on how much he plays, whether he starts, all those things. So the Eagles, this could be a spot where there's a certain wide receiver that certain teams could maybe want to come up and get, or the Eagles can say, all right, second year in a row, we didn't hit it with Jalen Reagor last year. How about we get a guy who's similar to Jalen Reagor, but I want to make a splash here at pick number 12 here with the Eagles. I'd love to trade back, but right now you got to get younger at certain positions. There is, they have a good corner room, but this is a guy I love. He's my number one corner in this draft, J.C. Horn, South Carolina cornerback, and I really like him. He's young. I think he's got all the tools to be the best corner in this draft. I think Surtain can come in right away and be that number one, number two corner for the Cowboys, but I think J.C. Horn is just that guy who's ready to come in and really beat out some of these guys for these jobs. I think he could be the number two guy coming in for the Eagles right here. But yeah, I like J.C. Horn here, and I think the Eagles, they have a chance maybe in the second round to get a wide receiver, but they're not going to take a chance yet again, J.C. Horn.
Yeah, I think the Eagles do go receiver here, but, you know, it's like you said, best available, and J.C. Horn, best cornerback left, best defensive back left, you know, could be the right pick for Eagles. I do think receiver's the way to go here, but you know, there are many ways that the Eagles could go, so it's not really a bad pick.
And if you look at the Eagles the past couple of years, they got burned on receiver. I don't expect them to get burned three times, and the only way you don't get burned is if you don't draft a receiver. So it's going to be whoever the GM is going to be sitting there almost at gunpoint thinking about, okay, do I draft a receiver? Like, do I make the mistake?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a scary situation to be the Eagles GM on the clock in the first round, but I would definitely go defense rather than wide receiver just because of previous history.
The Chargers are on the clock.
Alrighty. With the 13th overall pick.
Hey, hold on. I have a trade offer here.
Oh.
So I am the Miami Dolphins here at 18, and there's a player that I want that just got passed by another team that I traded with. And so I'm here offer you. So we'll offer you 18 this year. We'll also offer you 50 this year as well. So number one this year, number two this year as well, to trade up from 18 to 13.
I will do it on one condition. If you tell me who you're going to draft.
We all do that here in Miami.
I'm going to respectfully decline.
All right.
With the 13th overall pick, the Los Angeles Chargers, not San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers select Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama. I think Jalen Waddle's the right fit here. I think that's easily who Miami was calling to talk about. And that's why I made the question there. But I think for the Chargers, getting that speedster, getting Waddle in there, when you already have Keenan Allen, you just lost Mike Williams. So I definitely think that they need to get Waddle in there to perform. I know he had that broken ankle and he kind of forced himself into that national championship game. But when you saw him healthy, he was ridiculous. And I expect the same from him, especially from the arm of Justin Herbert. 13th overall, Waddle is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty solid pick. I think Waddle is a dangerous pick in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be NFL ready right away. We may see a few years before he starts producing on any elite level. We will eventually get there. And this is exactly what Herbert needs, a growing quarterback. You're going to need a receiver to grow with you. And these two working together are going to be very good for the Chargers in LA. So overall, pretty good pick. The Vikings are on the clock. Yeah, to me, I think this is an easy pick. The Vikings here select offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker at USC. I think he's the best available offensive lineman in this position that the Vikings need more than anything else. It's definitely their number one need on that team. And the Vikings are honestly getting a steal here at 14 for the talent that Elijah Vera Tucker is going to offer on the interior offensive line. And the versatility of Tucker, he could play any position on the offensive line, really. I see him more playing guard in the long term, but I do see them probably moving him around a lot, seeing where he plays best, and they're going to want him to be their leader in the years moving forward, and a great, solid rookie ready to play right away.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the pick. The Vikings, there's two options here. They can go edge rusher, or they can go a versatile offensive lineman in Elijah Vera Tucker. It's a great pick here, and I think there's another guy that I thought the Chargers were going to get at 13 that could possibly go here with the Vikings, but a good pick here. I think he'll be their starting guy for years to come.
The Patriots are on the clock.
Yeah, the Patriots here, it's interesting because they've had a very interesting offseason where they go out and they get a bunch of guys. And right now, I mean, it's between Stidham and Newton for the quarterback position. And Newton looks like he's going to be the guy for right now. I think I've been hearing a lot about Kyle Trask. He's not going to go here at 15, but I think second or third round, he could be a guy that they try to groom to be that next big guy for them. Right now, I mean, you have some needs here. You brought Kyle Van Noy back. You need a linebacker. There's some good linebacker prospects here. But corner as well. I mean, you got a possible trade that they're trying to do also with a couple of their guys as well. So there's some interesting guys here on the board for the New England Patriots. And so I'm going to say right here, for the Patriots, number 15. They're going to go linebacker here. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker, Notre Dame. He was the reason why Notre Dame was a top four team this year. That defense was insane, played very well. The offense with Ian Book didn't play quite as well for that team. I think it's a nice plug-in, fits right into that scheme with the New England Patriots. They weren't able to get the trade up that they wanted, possibly, to get their guy. And I mean, their guy's right here too, possibly. You know, we're all forgetting about Mac Jones. He might not even be a first round pick to us, but I mean, right now you gotta go best available here on the board, and I think it's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Yeah, he is best guy on the board, but I think the Patriots might be looking receiver here. Maybe Rondale Moore from Purdue could be a solid pick, but really solid pick. Yeah, best defensive player left in the draft. The Cardinals are on the clock, and I have a trade proposition for you, Jacob.
Go ahead.
The Cleveland Browns want to trade up to the number 16 spot, and in return, of course, they're offering 26 from this year. They're going to offer their first round pick from next season, and then they're going to throw in a fourth round pick from this year.
I think I'm just going to do another stipulation. I think the Cardinals would definitely be interested if you could give us a position that you're drafting before we accept this trade.
Man, I can't give my internal sources away.
Not even
Cleveland don't work like that, baby.
Not even just a position.
Nah, man.
And I'm going to decline. As a GM, I just, unless I can be sure that you're not going to take my guy, I'm not going to trade with you.
All right, suit yourself.
With the 16th overall pick, the Arizona Cardinals make a wild splash in this year's draft, and they draft Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. Now, I did not think the Cleveland Browns are talking about Najee Harris with Nick Chubb and everything like that they've got going on in Cleveland. Najee Harris is arguably the best running back in this draft class. I would definitely put Travis Etienne right there with him. He reminds me of Le'Veon Bell. And let me tell you what, with the offense that the Arizona Cardinals are building, Edmonds and Connor, no offense to Steelers fans out there, neither of them can get the job done running the ball or catching the ball. And if you don't believe me, just go look at their previous stats. Najee Harris does it both. He's athletic. He has a lot of splash and flair to the way he plays. You can take him out, bring in Connor as a third down back if you really need to, or Edmonds. But I think Najee Harris is such a flashy pick. I know a lot of people want Jalen Phillips here, but I'm going to go with the running back just to improve that offense and make it as high-flying as possible with Kyler Murray behind center.
Yeah, it wasn't the position Cleveland was looking for. You're right. But Najee Harris, definitely the best running back in this draft. He's powerful, fast. He reads the holes. He's patient. He's going to be consistent right away. He's definitely going to be a 1,000-plus yard rusher next season, maybe even top five in rushing yards. Look out for Najee Harris next season. The Raiders are on the clock. Now, the Raiders are looking a few different ways here, whereas their first few wants, they want offensive line and linebacker first and foremost, but I think the players that they really wanted are off the board, and at this point, there's one dude on there that fills a need, and he's the best out of what their needs are. I don't think they can pass up Trayvon Moehrig out of TCU. The safety, he's going to come in, he's going to fill a need, and I think behind Surtain, he is the best defensive back in this draft. He's a lockdown safety, great at open field tackling. He's going to be the full package safety, ready to come in and start right away for a Raiders team.
That's a surprising one there for me, because safeties, they don't usually go that high. And I've seen a lot of people mock him to the Jaguars at 25 or even going lower than that. So it's interesting that the Raiders going up, especially because they have a huge need at linebacker and a pretty big need at edge rusher and on the offensive side too. So it's interesting to see that the Raiders, that's where they go here. I honestly also wouldn't have been mad at Gregory Rousseau, because that seems like a Raiders pick as well. But I mean, a decent pick here. He could be a guy who could be a starter for a while. And they do have some guys in the secondary, so he could be a long-term starter there.
The Dolphins are on the clock.
Yeah, man. Wasn't able to get the trade earlier that I wanted. And right now there's a guy here at 18 at the same position I drafted earlier. Really could use, but we have enough offensive linemen. We don't need that. So right now we're going next on the board. I'm not really huge on any of these wide receivers, but I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here at number 18 here. I mean, you got some guys, you got Will Fuller, and you got some other guys there as well. And so let's go here, not top three receiver, but I think a top five possibly. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, Minnesota. Now, this is a guy who I believe is, you know, one of those guys who played some slot in college, and I think he could be used outside. I mean, use him in the beginning, I think, with Miami to have him go outside, but also use him a lot in the slot. I think he's one of these guys who could possibly fall out of the first round, but I think Miami is just kind of dealing with what they have here. It's a position of need. They wish they would have had Ja'Marr Chase, but I think right here, this is a guy in Rashad Bateman who could, you know, possibly be a number one, number two wide receiver for the Dolphins for years to come. And the Dolphins do have a couple of picks next year, and they kept a couple of picks this year too. They could add more weapons for Tua.
Yeah, definitely receiver. I thought they would have a shot at getting Devontae Smith earlier in the draft. That didn't quite turn out. Rashad Bateman, definitely not a good, bad backup. I don't know if Bateman was the best receiver up on the board, but definitely someone that's going to come in and potentially put up numbers right away. Tua finally getting some help.
I would just like to note that big worry there, that if we're talking about if he came out last year's draft, he's maybe a top five pick, you know, and then you look at this year, you know, the poor performance, him contracting COVID, you know, he's had a rough year. Obviously his pro day showed that he is definitely back to that form, but it's a risky pick. It really is, because you don't know what you're getting. Are you getting last year's Rashad Bateman, or are you getting this year's Rashad Bateman? They're two completely different people. I just hope the Dolphins are getting the previous.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in this draft where you can compare, you know, the 2019 tape to the 2020 tape. And so it's really which guy you're going to get. Are you going to get the guy that was on the tape, or are you going to get that guy that was at his pro day? It's going to be interesting to see how these guys that are in the war rooms value these other guys. Like, do they need a slot receiver? Do they need a guy on the outside? And like, how is free agency gonna play in and all this as well? But I think this is the pick that they should make here.
The Panthers are on the clock. I think this is the longest time in a long time an edge rusher hasn't gone this early in the draft, and Carolina is finally going to take the first one off the board with the 19th pick in the NFL draft. The Carolina Panthers select defensive end Kwity Paye out of Michigan. I think that out of an underwhelming edge draft class, Paye is the best one in this class. He's a physically gifted monster, is a bit inexperienced, but as with any defensive end, he's going to come in, he's going to learn fast on a team that needs to learn just as fast. Panthers is a very young team, a very young defense. They went all defense last year's draft, and starting out again this year with another defensive pick in Kwity Paye to help out a struggling front seven.
Yeah, I think Kwity Paye is not a bad athlete at all. Dominant if you look at his tape from Michigan. But I think something that I've seen in this draft is just a lot of devaluing of really good players just because they're not immediate impacts, or they're not that flashy pick. And I think Kwity Paye is more of a trenches player, and he could definitely make an impact for the Panthers right away. And it's definitely fitting after they picked last year. I think it was Derrick Brown from Auburn. If I got that right, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely think this is a great pick for the Panthers.
The Bears are on the clock. As much as I don't think he should go in the first round, come on, he's going to go in the first round. And Andy Dalton is not the answer in Chicago. Yes, I'm talking about quarterback Matt Jones, Alabama, going here to Chicago at the 20th spot. You know, there's a lot I think you need to be hesitant on with Matt Jones coming into the league. He could be great, but he's also going to Chicago. And if we look at the history of Chicago quarterbacks with an underwhelming prospect like Jones, I don't see the stars aligning, but Chicago likes what they see in Mac, and they're going to give him a chance to sit a year behind Andy Dalton and hopefully get in some experience.
If there is any player that is going to go to a certain team, I would think it'd be Mac Jones to the Bears, because just what happened with Mitch Trubisky, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears try to get up in top 10 to get him, just give up everything again. But I think this is right where the Bears need to be. I mean, really, they weren't going to make a splashy pick here at 20 unless a quarterback fell. And right now, Mac Jones could be the guy with the Bears. I mean, we'll see how he fits into Matt Nagy's system. But yeah, we'll see for the Bears.
The Colts are on the clock.
Yeah, if I'm the Colts here, I might want to trade down as they have in the past. But nah, I can't right now, because there's number three offensive tackle in this draft. I was thinking about trading up a couple of spots a couple of times, but I was just waiting, seeing if this guy fell. Colts would trade back if they didn't get this guy right here. Come on, it's got to be Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle, Virginia Tech. He is the third best offensive tackle in this draft, fourth best offensive lineman, right behind Elijah Vera Tucker. I honestly think Christian Darrisaw is a guy they need at that left tackle position, and now they're set. I mean, they had one of the best offensive lines in Anthony Costanzo. He retires, and now you get Christian Darrisaw, who is a guy who has all the intangibles. I think this is a good offensive line that just got better here for the Colts, and now, man, you can protect Carson Wentz and look out, Indianapolis. You may be heading to AFC Divisional Championship or even Super Bowl. So look out, Christian Darrisaw.
I think it's interesting that Darrisaw didn't give up a single QB hit last season, not a single one. And that's exactly what you want from an offensive tackle, to come in and join an already stout offensive line. He's going to have nothing but great teamwork around him. He's going to work greatly with the chemistry. They got Quentin Nelson up front with the Colts. You know, this is a spot that they just lost. They need to fill it, and they filled it immediately, and the Colts will continue to have one of the, if not the best offensive lines heading in the next season, and Darrisaw is definitely going to contribute to that. The Titans are on the clock.
Yeah, completely after a swing and a miss last season on the offensive line with Isaiah Wilson. I mean, wow, holy bust. But I see the Titans going Sam Cosmi here from Texas, the offensive tackle. Redshirt junior, he is ridiculous. 6'6", 314, 33-inch wingspan, just not inch, excuse me, 33 are his arms. I think he's completely underrated, and you can define it by his hometown. His hometown is Humble, Texas. This guy's humble. He's quiet. You don't see a lot about him, and you're going to see a lot about him in a couple of years. I mean, surprisingly, a player that he immediately reminds me of would be Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
But I think Sam Cosmi is the pick here for the Titans. You can't swing and a miss as poorly as you did last year, so you need to go out and get another lineman.
Yeah, I think Cosmi is probably the most underrated player in this draft, and to sink here at 22. I mean, the Titans, being patient, getting the guy they want. Yeah, I think he very well could be a top three offensive lineman coming out of this draft, and this is a very deep offensive lineman class. The Jets are on the clock. All right, so the Jets got their quarterback earlier. Now what are you going to do? They're going to need to give him some help. And who's still on the board? Who has somehow snuck all the way back to the 23rd spot but Rondale Moore, receiver out of Purdue? They get their quarterback, and then they get their receiver. These two are going to grow together, they're going to learn together, and they're going to light it up together. This is going to be the number one target in New York for quite some time, and he's going to come in, and he's going to do everything he needs to. Now, he's probably going to fill more of a slot receiver role for most of his career, just due to his size, but his after-catch talent, you're not going to be able to take him down. Any average cornerback in the NFL is going to give it up, and the Rondale Moore is going to break for 20 yards after the catch every single play. This is going to be their guy. He's going to be sneaky, and he's going to be solid.
Yeah, Rondale Moore for me is a guy, it's just like Rashad Bateman. Like, his tape is like pretty good, it's okay, but his combine or his pro day was fantastic. He showed all the intangibles you want to show there. Again, right now if you're the Jets, I mean, you just got Corey Davis and you also have a couple other guys as well, and you're trying to replace some guys as well. Kendrick Bourne also there, but it's good to give him some help there. Offensive line maybe should have been the pick here. But, I mean, the Jets are setting up for the future. They're doing as much as they can. They got a picks to do it, so might as well.
I definitely see this as a decent pick. But if I'm looking at previous investments, I think that's something you have to take into account. And you have to look at your investment now. And your investment right now is Zach Wilson. We previously discussed that you can't just have one good lineman. And I think this is where they needed to draft a lineman. Obviously, two just came off the board right before this. You know, you have Denzel Mims. He only played 9 games. He got hurt. He had 350 yards with 23 receptions. He didn't have an amazing season, but man, were there flashes for Mims. So Rondale Moore seems like a good pick, especially when you're losing Perryman. But I definitely see the need at line here way before anything else. But this is a very Jet thing to do, to go after the position player since you already did it.
The Steelers are on the clock.
I'm happy this year I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. For those who know me, I'm a huge Steelers fan. There's three ways we could go here with this pick. One, offensive line, biggest need here. Everybody's been chattering, oh, well, right now Najee Harris is the guy, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, all these guys, these running backs. But, I mean, you also have some corners here that have fallen in the draft. I mean, we've only had two picked, I believe. And the Steelers, I mean, historically have been awful at picking corners. And I think there's a guy here, injury history for me, who they have the Steelers have a knee in the middle of the offensive line. I really like this guy. I don't care if he's gotten hurt before. He's got all the intangibles. Did a backflip for Mac Jones at the Alabama Pro Day. Let's go right here. Landon Dickerson, center, Alabama. The Steelers, they need a center badly. I mean, Marquise Pouncey, one of the greatest centers in Steelers history. I mean, you got some other guys behind him as well. And really, I mean, we've seen the Steelers draft centers in the first round in the past before, and they're golden. Hall of Fame. I'm not saying Dickerson's going to be a Hall of Famer, and I'm not saying that, you know, his injury that he had is really going to hold him back or whatever, but I think we have a good offensive line, good coaching here. I think Landon Dickerson landing right where he needs to land. Again, he could go in the second round. Steelers could pick him up, but right now, you got to get your guy, and I think it's Landon Dickerson, center, Alabama.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are definitely caught between a rock and a hard place here. You need a center. You need a running back. Bottom line, point blank, period. Benny Snell's not the solution. And by God, Anthony McFarland is not the solution either. And I think you as a Steelers fan can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at this, and if Najee Harris is still on the board,
yeah,
that's who you pick. But if it's Travis Etienne, you go offensive lineman. And I think at that point, you mm-hmm. have to go center. And he is the best center on the board. So kudos to that pick, because I would have probably done the same thing, even though I think the Steelers are direly, desperately in need of Najee Harris or a Najee Harris type back. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I've also heard from the Steelers organization as well, just looking around and everything, that they're interested in Trey Sermon. And I think it's a Steelers thing to go second or third round for a running back anyway. And they have an extra fourth round pick as well. So they could go deep. I mean, this isn't a really deep running back class like it was last year. But I think there are a couple of guys that the Steelers are eyeing and saying, well, I think offensive line is more of a need for us right now, or even edge rusher, because Bud Dupree left. And so it's really all comes down to is who do the Steelers trust on the offensive line, who do they trust in the backfield right now. And I don't know if there's really anybody, maybe Benny Snell, but I mean, a second or third round, you gotta go running back if you're the Steelers.
Yeah, and one guy you could easily target there is Javonte Williams as well, if he's still there in the second round. I think they have a lot of options.
Absolutely.
This draft is deep at offensive line. I said it before, I'll say it again, I think the Steelers could be perfectly fine drafting offensive lineman or a running back. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
The Jaguars are on the clock.
Yeah, I think this is an important time for the Jaguars, an important moment for them, because you have two options. Obviously, you had that running back workout last year. Robinson had a great season. James Robinson, I believe. Stud. Absolute stud last season. Do you look at ETN
mm-hmm.
and immediately go, no? I mean, you just got a young quarterback. You know that James Robinson's solid. But if you look at what some teams have done in the past, they've created a two-headed monster at the running back position. So I think at this point, with Etienne still on the board, they have to think about it. But they thought about it. It's over and done with. They went and they go grab an outside linebacker, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. He's a beast. He reminds me of a little bit more like a speedy Micah Parsons. He's only 6'3". And I say only just because, you know, a lot of linebackers can be super tall sometimes. I think Azeez is definitely underrated. I think all the defensive players in the first round are completely underrated. Ojulari could be an absolute animal for the Jaguars. Put him next to Miles Jack, and you have a nightmare for the opposing offense.
This pitch surprises me a little bit. I did not have Ojulari nowhere near the top of my draft board, let alone this point. And I think there's at least three people at that position that might outshine. But, I mean, if Jacksonville's confident, you know, getting a guy that hopefully out of defense that just has more than too many holes. The Browns are on the clock. I don't even think Cleveland knows what to do here. There are so many options available for them, and no matter what, they're going to get a guy that's going to come in and contribute immediately. Now, the best player on the board is at TNA. they're not going to go running back here. They don't have a need for running back. They've got to look at defense. They have two positions. You got cornerback and you got linebacker. They wanted a receiver. The best receivers in the class are gone. And now you're looking at, you know, some pretty decent players here on defense. I think they're going to have to fill the cornerback position beforehand. I think it's more of a pressing need. They can get a really solid linebacker in the second round. Why not go ahead and get a guy you know isn't going to be there on your next pick? How about Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech? He's fast, strong, athletic. Now, he hasn't played in a while, and he did have back surgery rather recently, so there were some red flags there. Definitely think that had him fall back in a little bit. I don't see him slipping to the second round, though, and Farley goes to Cleveland here.
Yeah, Caleb Farley was a top 10 prospect coming in this year, and then he had everything go on with his back, and he didn't participate in his pro day, and he didn't play the entire year just because everything going on with COVID. I mean, definitely agree with how he went about everything, but man, this is a steal. I mean, we've seen the Browns do it before with Greedy Williams in the second round a couple years ago, and they have Ward there, Denzel Ward at the other corner. So this could be a good spot here because you do have some guys in front of them. You can develop this guy. They need defense. So good pick here from the Browns.
The Ravens are on the clock.
Yeah, the Ravens, there's definitely one big need that they have here. I mean, there's two needs and they have two picks. So, I mean, you just got rid of two quality edge rushers this offseason. There's a guy here on the board that I didn't think would be here. My number one edge rusher, Jalen Phillips, edge Miami. Now, he did have a problem. He stepped away from football for an entire year, I believe, for ACL or concussion or some sort of injury. He stepped away from football, but man, he looked good at his pro day and really just shows everything that you want to see in an edge rusher. It's a huge need for the Ravens. He can come in and I don't know if he can plug in and play right away, but he's a guy that I think for me that I would want on my team. I would have seen him definitely for the Colts or another team earlier that would have needed him. But yeah, let's go right here, Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not here. Jalen Phillips, the next best defensive end in the draft class. Again, not a lot of good edge rushers this year. Maybe Jalen Phillips can come in. You know, he's a versatile player and can do pretty much anything you need him to. The Saints are on the clock.
Yeah, and I think the Saints, if you've read anything about the Saints recently, Sean Payton does not believe in drafting a quarterback early. Right now, I think he wants to try out the Jameis Winston experiment, and I don't know how that'll turn over. Pun intended. Okay, I think they need a linebacker. Just in general, they need a linebacker. They don't want to reach here, so they go and grab Zaven Collins from Tulsa. He's a very good prospect, 6'4", 260. He's solid. He seems like the right fit for the Saints. And it'll be a great linebacker who will come in and possibly start for them.
Yeah, I thought Zaven Collins would be a really good second-round steal, but going here at 28th, I mean, it's still a steal in its own right. Do not attempt to throw in this kid's direction because he is amazing in coverage. 6'5", stands very tall. Collins is going to come in and contribute right away for a Saints defense that is going to need to keep up with not having the offense as good as it used to be. The Packers are on the clock. Now, I could see Green Bay trading back here. I think most of the players that they really wanted are off the board, but they're just not getting any offers that they really like. So they're just going to go ahead and fill a position that they need. They need a new offensive lineman that just might as well get the best available. So they're going to go ahead and draft Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. He is a run block specialist, and he's going to help Aaron Jones have a huge season next year.
I think Tevin Jenkins is the biggest undercover beast in this draft. Don't let his draft profile picture fool you with the goggles and the boyish smile. This guy is an animal. Go look at the tape. He's ridiculous. I think this is a perfect fit. I know people are going to be weeping. No, it's not a wide receiver. But yes, it's an offensive lineman. It's going to be perfect. Still got Bakhtiari over there. They're going to be perfect. This is a great fit for the Packers.
I think for the Ravens and the Saints and even the Packers, I mean, there's one position, especially the Saints and the Packers, where I thought they were going to go. Kevin King was awful last year for the Packers, and they signed him to a one-year deal, I believe, again. And there's two guys here, Greg Newsome and Asante Samuel Jr., who are first-round caliber guys who – really, I don't think the Saints or the Packers would think they'd fall this far. And so, I mean, they're first round guys. I think it'd be great, you know, if they went there. But I mean, these are some solid picks that could definitely provide some depth for them in the future and some starters as well.
The Bills are on the clock.
All right, so for the Bills here, I mean, right now, you got to cover the best, some of the better receivers in the NFL when you're going against the Kansas City Chiefs or some other teams that are coming up. And there's some corners that have fallen here for the Bills. I mean, again, they need an edge rusher, and there are some good edge rushers, some guys who really have, I think, what it takes as far as skill goes, but I just don't, they're raw. I think they're young. I could say the same thing about Penei Sewell at his position. So the Bills here, I think quarter is where I'm going to go here. You could go running back as well, but I think corner is where you're going to go. And I'm going to go here, Asante Samuel Jr., cornerback out of Florida State, just like his dad. I mean, he's not the fastest guy, right? He's not the tallest guy, but he's a guy who's going to know where the ball's going. He's going to study film. He's going to study the quarterback. He's going to study how these wide receivers move, and he's going to be right where the ball is going to be about a couple yards before the other receiver will be there. Him and his dad were the two best players in history, really, to do that. He emulates his dad a lot, and I think, you know, I mean, he played for the Patriots, and now he's going to be, his son is going to be AFC East as well. Could be a staple here, right across from Trey White. Like this pick here for the Bills.
Yeah, I completely agree. I see a lot of similarities between him and his father. I don't understand why he's so low on a lot of people's draft boards. I see the love for J.C. Horn. I see the love for Patrick Surtain. I just see the cornerback need for a lot of these teams that people are just ignoring. And trust me, next year is going to be inflated numbers for a lot of wide receivers due to a lot of teams just ability not to see that need yet. So I think that Asante Samuel is a great pick here. I think you just got to look at him and say, okay, he's got it in his blood. So I think also, don't four out of the five corners have fathers who played in the NFL? So you're getting a lot of seasoned generational talent, and I think Asante Samuel is a great pick.
The Ravens are on the clock.
I think the Ravens at this point aren't sprinting, but they're in a nice light jog to turn in this card. It's a complete wild card pick for the Ravens. This is a little bit out of their character, as they don't normally do this in the first round, at least recently. But there is a receiver in this draft class that fits exactly what the Ravens do. Justin's a Steelers fan. I love the Bengals. They're my team. We have to play the Ravens twice a year, and they run the ball like maniacs, whether it be their quarterback, their wide receiver, their tight end, their head coach gets in the game and sprints down the field. They love to run the ball. Kadarius Toney is the pick here. He grabs the ball on a reverse and he takes off. He's always finds himself open in ridiculous situations. He plays after the play is over. He kind of reminds me of Tyreek Hill, but then also he kind of reminds me of Alvin Kamara a little bit when he has the ball in his hands. I think Kadarius Toney is a utility knife of a wide receiver out of Florida, and I think he fits this offense perfectly. And imagine, you know, Lamar Jackson running the read option to the right, and Kadarius Toney is lining up at wide receiver, and he just flicks in the ball. What do you do then? I think Kadarius Toney is a great pick here for the Ravens.
This is definitely the positions the Ravens needed to fill. I thought that maybe they were going to do that earlier, the 27th, but they still got their guy waiting here. There are a lot of options to look at here. You got Elijah Moore, you got Terrace Marshall, but Kadarius Toney, you know, agility, he's fast, probably has the best footwork out of any receiver in this class. You know, anywhere to go up, but up. And Lamar Jackson's going to love having a speedy receiver.
I don't know if Kadarius Toney can be the receiver that the Ravens are looking for. They already have Marquise Brown. He's basically, I mean, I don't want to say he is Marquise Brown 2.0, but to me, he kind of seems like that. For me, I would look for a receiver that's a little bit different build, who has wide receiver one potential. So it's interesting that they go here and not offensive tackle, because that's what they just lost and they need it. I know there's huge depth here at the tackle and they could get it in the second round, but they don't have a second round pick. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get that in. Maybe Alejandro Villanueva decides to go to a rival in Baltimore, but you know, it could be a good pick here.
Yeah, especially from what I've been hearing, it's almost a guarantee that Villanueva will be a Raven after the draft. I think it's just a date and time scenario just due to certain rules in the NFL and when they want to get it done. But to me, Kadarius Toney's a little bit different than Hollywood. because, you know, Hollywood wasn't straight up reverses in college, and he was very just a deep ball threat. I think Tony's more of a, their play's broken. And if you look at the Ravens, you know, Joe Flacco is not their quarterback. They don't need a wide receiver one because no offense, Lamar Jackson can't put the deep ball down the field normally accurately. You know, if you look back at those times, you had Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith, you had a lot of very good athletes, Steve Smith, you know, very good wide receiver ones that were perfect. But your wide receiver one in Baltimore is Mark Andrews. And please don't forget it, because he is Lamar Jackson's best friend. And what do you add there? Speed on the outside. He's a little bit different than Hollywood. I can definitely see the comparison. But I think that he'll be able to play in the system a lot differently and a little bit better than Hollywood does.
The Buccaneers are on the clock. All right. I think Tampa is going to trade out of the first round. Out of all the teams in this year's class, Tampa doesn't have any glaring needs. This is a very solid, well-rounded team, and they have all 22 starters returning to the field. So I think whoever they sign here isn't going to be meant to come in and be an immediate contributor. Their guy they're going to draft here isn't a position that they need to fill right away, but it's the best available player. They need someone who's smart and can learn the game and develop and eventually be a monster for maybe filling in a position that they can't re-sign in years to come. I see Tampa Bay here drafting Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Missouri. Again, not a position that they 100% need to fill, but he is the best player, and he's going to come in, he's going to learn this teams, and Bruce Arians is all about best available. Nick Bolton is best available. I don't see him falling to the second round, so he goes to Tampa here.
Love the pick, love the fit. You know, their linebackers are solid already. And one thing that I've learned about linebackers in the NFL is they sit behind a great one. They're normally pretty solid themselves. If you don't believe me, check out some of the linebackers in Pittsburgh, because they've been cycling that system for years. Alex Highsmith looks very solid now. Mm-hmm. There's tons of talent in that linebacker room in Tampa Bay. The last thing that they need is just to put a young one in there that gets to learn behind all that talent, because they're going to be good again. And I just can't imagine, you know, building upon that with a farm system of a defense and linebacker. So that's a solid pick at 32 for them. But I do agree, I don't see them taking this pick. I can definitely see them trading out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all very much for listening to our first round. Unfortunately, you know, we're not going to go 2-7, 2-3, 4-5, 6-7, just the first round. All of the biggest studs going here. And there are a ton of top talent players left remaining to go in the second round. You got Etienne, a running back, Richie Grant, safety. You got McNeil as a defensive tackle. You got Elijah Moore falling to the second round as a receiver. Gregory Rose, who's a defensive end, falling to the second round. Walker Little is an offensive lineman. There's so much high caliber talent. Any of them I could see being first rounders, but here you have the complete first round draft class. And how do the general managers over here feel with their picks?
I feel pretty solid. I feel like the two teams, the Cardinals and the Chargers, are definitely going to be like that draft night. They might get calls, but unless you tell them where you're going, they're not going to take that call seriously, because, you know, there's positions they need. And then if you say that position or you say that player, they're definitely no way going to trade you that pick. So, and I can definitely understand on the other side, the team saying, no, we can't tell you. So a team that I can I felt great about my picks. Some of them are really solid. Washington went out on a limb without completely cutting off their arm like they did with RG3. But, you know, the one pick that I look at right away is pick 8 and pick 7, because I don't think the Lions or the Panthers, I don't think they will both stay in that position. I think no matter what, somebody trades pick 7 or pick 8. So I think that'll just be exciting to see on draft night.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, I feel pretty solid with my picks. I mean, there's a couple of teams right here where they decided to wait for their guy and they didn't end up getting him, like the Dolphins. They ended up getting Penei Sewell. I think for a lot of my teams, really, they waited for a guy, they didn't get him, and then they just picked best available. I think that's a lot of these teams. Really, the Broncos are a team that they could move up for a quarterback, but maybe they're just too invested in Drew Lock, or they might get a guy like Davis Mills in the second round. I could definitely see that just to brew some competition up. The Eagles are a huge wild card because they could trade down. And really, I mean, I think that's one of the picks that really shook up this draft because, I mean, they need defense, but also wide receiver Jalen Waddle. That's going to be super enticing. They just got rid of a lot of wide receivers there. Patriots is a huge one too. Could they trade down? Because there have been times in the past where their first round picks, second round picks, third round picks don't work out usually. So if there's a team like maybe the Bears that want to move up and get Mac Jones, they could move back as well. I think the team who got exactly who they wanted to, even though they didn't think he'd be there, you got to have the Colts right here. I mean, the Colts here at offensive tackle, Christian Darrisaw should have gone in top 15, falls all the way to 21. This is right where the Colts need it. They won't have a first or second round draft pick next year because of the Carson Wentz trade. This is setting them up for the future. Yeah, I like my picks.
Well, there are indeed plenty of steals left to come. And, you know, we're all excited for the big day. So tune in tomorrow and we'll see how our mock draft pans out to the real draft. Until next time, thank you for listening, and this has been
Beyond the Blitz.